Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 is where we'll jump off, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but this one thing. Somebody say one thing. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. The older you get, the more you have to forget. Which means the older you get, the harder it is to forget everything that's behind you. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. We'll get to there in 2 weeks. But unless you're going to reach forward, there's no need to forget what's behind. He said, I forget what's behind in one moment, and the very next moment I reach toward. What are we reaching towards? Those things which are before. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell him there's just one thing. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him there's just one thing. Hey, it's been a little while since we've done this. Before you're seated, find somebody you didn't ride to church with, you haven't talked to yet. Just dap them up, high-five them. If you know them real good, you can hug them and tell them, I'm so glad you're here, but there's just one thing. Or you can do like my sister's doing. Just turn around and wave at people. Lock eyes with somebody. God bless you. God bless you. Once you've done that, you may be seated. The series, One Thing. It's amazing that a series about one thing is actually, we're talking about five things. But in this series, we are learning how to focus on the most important thing in that moment. See, when you come to church, we'll get to it here in just a little bit. When you come to church, when you open your Bible for personal devotion or personal worship with God, God demands, or not only does he demand, but God deserves all of us. You know, one of my pet peeves, I do it to people do it to me, but one of my pet peeves is to be having a conversation at dinner with somebody and they're looking at their phone. I know you can multitask. I know I can too. But there's no way that you're giving the person that you're spending time with 100% of your attention if you're reading on your phone or scrolling on your phone. My mother-in-law has a rule at her house that it doesn't matter if it's Thanksgiving or just a normal Tuesday evening family dinner. If we are at her table in her house, there's no phones allowed at the table. And your boy's like, I'm like this. And she's like, Brandon? Yes, ma'am. And I put it down. But she gets on her husband more than she gets on me about it. But what she's saying is, I want you to be 100% present in this moment. Can I just encourage you, not just on a Wednesday night, but any time that you're spending with God, make sure you're 100% present in that moment. Why? Because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss what he's saying. I don't want to miss. How many of you know one of the things I love about modern technology is I love texting. You've heard me talk about this before. I love texting because it is the quickest communication. There's no pleasantries, there's no small talk, there's no shooting the breeze, we get directly to the point. However, in texting, you do lose context because you can't hear the inflection of someone's voice. You can't see them raise their eyebrows. You know, when somebody texts you and you don't know who it is, you might be in the best mood and you might say, who is this? But it comes off on the other end of the phone, who is this? As in, how dare you, peasant? Text me. And so I used to put, who is this? But then I changed it and I put, and who might this be? Because it sounds very Disney-esque. And who might this be? And who do I have the pleasure of talking to today? And so there's a chance, and I preached about this to the men, I think, last Manpower. There's a chance that we could miss the Messiah because we are so consumed with what's happening in our lives in that moment. And I was making the comparison to the paralyzed man who was at the Gate Beautiful at the pool. And for 38 years he was paralyzed. Jesus comes to him and says, will you be thou made whole? And he says, I have no one to put me in. He did not know, he didn't need anybody else because Jesus was there. So when we talk about one thing, we are talking about a singular focus. Not a jack of all trades, but to become a master of one. We've talked at faith demands focus, and I don't want to spend a lot of time rehashing because I do want to spend some time breaking down Luke chapter 10. But the first two one things we've talked about is David said in Psalm 27, one thing I have asked. Said one thing that I pray for, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said the one thing that I pray for is for the presence of God. Jesus would go on to say in our second one thing, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus would say to the rich young ruler, which we covered last week, the one thing you lack, said the one thing you lack is not giving everything and selling and giving everything away. He said the one thing you lack is the one thing you need, and that is to pursue me, to seek me with all that you have. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, he said the one thing you lack, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. Said, go sell everything. That's radical obedience. You will have treasure in heaven takes radical trust that you believe that a God that saves you here will stand in eternity to receive us at the end of our lives. Then he says, come and follow me, which takes radical faith. Because remember, a lot of us have trouble following a Jesus we know. Jesus commanded them to follow a Jesus they did not know. A Jesus that some were calling a liar and a heretic and blasphemous. A leader and the Son of God and Son of Man all in one. But this same Jesus that said, follow me. The religious leaders that these young men and young women had heard all of their lives were saying, don't follow him, he is a liar. Jesus demanded radical faith in that moment. Jesus wanted him. But let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to read five verses, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her then to help me. Man, she sounds like these sisters are 6 and 8 years old, not grown women. Make her help me, Lord. Verse 41, but the Lord answered to her, Martha, Martha, for those of you that were here on Sunday, we had us an old-fashioned deliverance service. And anxiety, praise God, was killed on Sunday. Listen to how Jesus answered her. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Have you ever found yourself complaining to God about one thing, but what you're really complaining about wasn't the problem? But it was about everything else you were going through, and you just cherry-picked that one thing because it got on your nerves in that moment. But in that moment, that's not what was really messing with you. Jesus said, Martha, you're anxious, and you are troubled by many things. Not many things that have happened since I walked in the house, but many things that are simultaneously happening in your life. Sometimes the devil's not messing with one thing in your life. He is messing with everything in your life. Verse 42, but one thing, Jesus says, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. We've talked about the first two one things. The one thing I ask, which is prayer. The one thing you lack, which is what Jesus said. And now Jesus says the second one thing, the third in our series, but the second one that Jesus said. There is one thing that is necessary. Our everyday lives, church, are filled with demands and distractions. How many of you live a very demanding life? If you're a mom, you should have your hand raised. If you are married, you should have your hand raised. If you go to school, you should have your hand raised. And if you work a job, you should have your hand raised, which means all of us. I see someone back there with both hands raised. Praise God, I'm with you, and a foot. We live very demanding lives. If we're not careful, demands turn into distractions. Demands are an urgent or pressing need. Here is where I've gotten, church. I don't let people put demands on me, But where I've fallen short recently is I put demands on myself. You think you hold me to a standard? I hold myself to a high standard. In some cases, I hold myself to an impossible standard for me to live. And when I fall, that's where shame comes in. That's where I start feeling sorry and beating myself up. And so the demands and the distractions that we see Martha dealing with, demands are urgent or pressing needs. Distraction, I love this. Distractions are that which distracts, divides, or diverts. You know, the enemy doesn't have to make you look at him as long as you're not looking at God. Peter sank in the waves, not because he was looking at the enemy, but because he quit looking at Jesus. And if you are not careful, the demands, and we'll get to this in just a second, the busyness of life can become so overwhelming in us that we're not looking behind us like Paul warned us. We're not looking to the sinful people we used to be in our past, but we are no longer looking at Jesus, and we are now looking at our marriage, our spouse, our family, our money, and we're not sinning in the way that the world likes to talk about sin, but we have now been disconnected from God because our focus has been broken on Jesus. Remember this, the devil doesn't have to get you to look at him. He just has to get you to look away from God, diverting our attention. The passage from Luke here in Luke 10, it highlights the power of prioritizing. Prioritizing what truly matters. Forgive me for those of you that are watching online, but let me talk to those of you in the building. You know what separates you from being in the room instead of watching online tonight? Priority. You know what keeps you from, or you know what makes you get up in the bed on Sunday morning after you have had a long week and come to the house of God first thing? You know why you give 10% off the top of what God has blessed you called tithe? You know why you have a prayer life? You know why you worship every day? You know why you have a fasting schedule? It all comes down to one thing. You have prioritized Jesus over everything else. There's somebody watching today who will say, Pastor, you don't know how hard I work. All I'm saying is when I read the Word of God, there are many people that came up to Jesus saying, hey, I'd like to follow you, but I need to do this first. And Jesus said some very harsh and real things. One said, my dad just died and I need to go bury him. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry, you can't do nothing for dad now. Follow me. Jesus visits the home of two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary are the sisters of Lazarus. Lazarus, of course, is famed because he is the one that Jesus brings back to life in later chapters. One sister we see in Martha is busy serving. Somebody say serving. That is she's meeting the physical needs of Jesus. She is literally creating an atmosphere for him to rest because he has given much of his life and much of his time has been out in the sun and heat and teaching and working miracles. And for those of you that understand what ministry is, we might leave here on Sunday. On Sunday, I left here so spiritually strong, but man, I had a good nap Sunday evening. Because when you're praying for hundreds of people, it is taxing on your physical body. It's taking everything. And so Jesus was having his physical needs. She was making food for him. She was making an atmosphere for him to be recharged to go out and to fulfill ministry. And so one sister Martha is busy serving. One sister Mary is busy sitting. One is serving Jesus, one is sitting at Jesus' feet, one is serving Jesus, meeting physical needs, one is sitting at Jesus' feet, meeting spiritual needs. The difference in their response to Jesus' presence highlights an important lesson about their personal priorities. Can I just ask you this question, and it is rhetorical today, but I want you to dive deep in your own life. What are your personal priorities when Jesus shows up? When Jesus showed up on Sunday, what did you do? Did you look at your phone and say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make my brunch appointment? Did you look and say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to catch the game I wanted to watch? Did you sit down and start making a grocery list? Did you sit down and look at people saying, why them and not me? When Jesus steps in the room, you better make sure that you have prioritized your life. And let's not just talk about the room. When Jesus steps in and avails himself to us, he expects us to avail ourselves to him. And when Jesus' presence is thick in our lives, we've got to rearrange our schedule and prioritize our life so that we can receive from him, but also give to him. Let's talk about the distraction of busyness. Someone told me a few weeks ago, I asked them where they had been. And I know that sounds very judgy, but I'm a shepherd. And when the sheep's not in the pasture that says this is their pasture, and I see them and I ask them where have they been, it's not accusatory. It's not judgmental. I'm just reminding them, hey, there's some green grass that God wants to put you in. There's some still water. And they said, well, Pastor, I've just been real busy. Well, let me just make this statement. If you are too busy to go to church, to pray, to worship, to read your Bible, to give discipleship or be discipled, you are simply too busy. I thought you'd say amen really good because you're here on a Wednesday night. There is no, if you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Cut some things out. Turn Netflix off. Don't be running all over the state or all over town or all of the things that we love to get busy doing. There is no such thing as I'm too busy for Jesus, because once he shows up, my life revolves around him. Luke chapter 10, 38. Let's go back. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Martha was distracted with much serving. See, we preachers like to talk about being distracted from serving. She was distracted by her serving. Oh, it's going to get deep. What if the ministry you joined is actually hindering your relationship with God, not helping your relationship with God? And that's not up to the director or the team lead of that ministry. That is a personal conviction that you and I have to realize, that I cannot get to the place that I'm so busy serving in God's house that I forget I'm in God's house. That I'm so busy serving God's people that I forget those people have a God and he's my God. And what I'm doing is important, but I cannot miss Jesus in the moment. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Please tell her to help me. Martha's struggles like many of ours. Martha is the practical one. Martha is the analytical one. Martha thinks a lot. How many of you think a lot? How many of you overthink? How many of you will think a situation to death? And right when you're about to make the move is no longer an option anymore. Some people don't think enough. But then there are others like you that raised your hand, and Martha, you overthink. Can I just tell you that faith does not allow the people of God to overthink? Some of us miss opportunity because we haven't thought enough. But most of us miss opportunity because we're thinking too much. God calls us to do something great. What if it doesn't work out? And can I just encourage you, quit saying what if it doesn't. What if it does? What if tithing does change your life? What if showing up instead of every other Sunday, what if showing up 52 Sundays in 2025, what if that literally just, I'm talking about, plants you in such a way that fruit begins to be produced in your life? When we overthink, we deal with what the world calls analysis paralysis, which leads us to thinking only and never doing. When Jesus enters her home, she wants to make sure that everything is perfect. Can I just tell you that in the next few moments, we are going to tear down the idol of perfection. God gave me that revelation a few services ago in one of our last series. The Bible says that God calls Job perfect, not because he was perfect, but because God was talking about Job at the end of the story and working backwards. So when God calls Job perfect, it's not because Job is perfect in that moment, and it's not because he's going to go through his life avoiding trouble and calamity. What he means is, I know how this story ends, and at the end of this story, Job is going to be perfect. But let's spend some time tearing down the idol of perfection. Jesus enters Martha's home and she wants to make sure everything is perfect, that the meal is ready, that every detail is taken care of. Can we imagine the pressure she feels wanting this to be the most perfect situation, wanting Jesus to walk away saying, that is the best that I've ever been hosted. That is the greatest home and the greatest food I've ever had. And so as the Son of God, she is wanting things to be perfect. If you're taking notes, take a picture of the screen or write this down. The pursuit of perfection produces unnecessary pressure. The pursuit of perfection produces unnecessary pressure. Some of you, it's not the pressure of the world that's crushing you. It's the pressure you have put on yourself that is crushing you. And you want your life to be perfect. Can I tell you, there is not one man that is perfect save Jesus Christ. He is the only one that is perfect, and not because he was a perfect man, but because he is a perfect God. All flesh, all God, all man, all God. But when we put that lofty goal that is impossible of perfection, you are already setting yourself up for failure. You can't be perfect, yet you follow the one that is perfect. And see, I have found that even though I'm not perfect, I have a relationship and a one-on-one connection to a perfect God. So when I am less, he is more. When I am not enough, he is more than enough. When I am sick, he is healing and health. When I am going through things where I need to be delivered, he is the conquering and delivering King. Everything that we are not, Jesus is. In doing so, Martha allows the pursuit of perfection to lead to distraction. I never appreciated how good Pastor Becky cooks until I tried to cook. And I can make decent food, but you know what I respect about my mom's cooking the most? Is she can cook 10 things for Thanksgiving and every one of them is hot at the same time. Nothing got burnt. Nothing's ice cold. Pastor Mandy and I, we are the king and queen of eating out. And so now that our kids have grown and we have those special holidays, we learned last year, it's hard. It's hard to meet perfection. I'm not saying don't do things in excellence. I'm just saying don't kill yourself on the altar of perfection, because you're never going to get there. There is only one that is perfect. That's why we worship him and not you and not me and not any other little g God that has ever told us to worship. You are not perfect, and our worship is only deserved for those that are perfect. Don't confuse excellence with perfection. They're not even related. They're not sisters. They're not cousins. They're not even step siblings. Excellence and perfection are on two different ends of the spectrum. I am not doing my best to be perfect. I am not on a pursuit of perfection, and neither should you. I am on a pursuit of excellence. I want to do everything as excellent as I can do. And you know what the great thing about excellence is? The stronger my faith is, the greater my excellence is. The more I know, the more word I know, the more excellent I become. The more word that I hide in my heart that I don't sin against God, the more excellence shows up in my daily walk with God. Martha was allowing a good thing she was doing for Jesus to keep her from Jesus. Jesus is out dropping revelation in the living room and she's over the stove. And yes, she's doing something good. And yes, she's going to meet the needs of Jesus. But Mary is getting something that Martha is not. Can I just be 100% real with you right now? There are people that left this building on Sunday saying, man, what a great service. It looked like so many people received, but I didn't receive that. Could it be that you were too busy doing good and too busy serving than to sit in the presence of the Lord and say, all right, Jesus, this is a moment for you to teach. This is a moment for you to pour into me. There's been some things that I've been carrying, and what I cook for you on the stove and fluffing the pillows and turning the music and the lights on right, none of that is going to help me. But if you're in my house, everything else can stop right now, and I'm going to sit at your presence. Don't ever allow your service to God to stop or hinder your pursuit of God. Can I talk to leaders in the room today? Can I talk to dream teamers in the room? Never allow your service to God to hinder your pursuit of God. Never allow you running a camera to make you miss a word straight from the throne room that applies to you and your situation. Never let running the soundboard or the wall, never let teaching Sunday school. Can I just tell you, if you're teaching Sunday school, that's not going to church. If you work in the nursery on Sunday at 11, that's not going to church. You can serve in the nursery every Sunday for the rest of your life and miss Jesus. You can lead children to Jesus and you miss Jesus. The preachers and pastors that hold microphones on Sunday can herald Jesus every day for the rest of their life, and they can do good but miss Jesus. I'm here to tell you, I want you to meet Jesus like I know Jesus, but I am not going to do good and miss out and serve and miss out on pursuing God. Got a couple minutes left. Let's go a little further. Notice how Jesus describes Martha in Luke 10:41. Says, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha's anxiety is not just about the work she was consumed with. It was about the unnecessary perfection pressure that she had placed on herself to please Jesus. There are some of us that we keep ourselves worked up trying to please Jesus. Trying to please him like we tried to please our parents. Like we try to please our spouse. The problem is most of your pleasing to people happens by what you do. Jesus is not looking at the outward expression of what we're doing for him. The first thing he looks at is, are you connected with me? Do you have a real relationship with me? She overwhelms herself. This is going to be difficult for somebody to hear, but it's going to bring you freedom tonight. Life hasn't overwhelmed you. Your ex-husband didn't overwhelm you. Your overbearing parents have not overwhelmed you. You've overwhelmed you. And your pursuit of the wrong thing, you've overwhelmed you. You've put weight on you. No one else put that weight on you. Or you brought in people close enough that they put weight on you, and you shouldn't have allowed them to put that weight on you. As a pastor, every week, somebody messages me, somebody emails me, somebody stops me in an aisle and says, Pastor, why doesn't the church do this? Why doesn't the church do more of this? I would love to see the church do this. And they don't understand that we are operating at peak capacity with who God has blessed us with right now. And we've got big dreams, big goals, big vision. And as God brings us the people, we're going to accomplish all of those things. But you should see the look on their face when they come to me with a big idea and I say, awesome, how are you going to pull that off? Pastor, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we collected 500 coats and 500 pairs of shoes and got 500 breakfast tacos and go downtown on Saturday and feed the homeless and let's have a church service down there? What they were wanting to do is they wanted to meet us downtown for 15 minutes, give it a selfie of them handing a taco to some homeless person, and talk about how awesome Living Way is and look at what God is doing through them. They don't want to show up and raise the money. They don't want to show up on a Thursday night. They don't want to show up on a Saturday morning. They just want to show up to the finished thing. Don't overwhelm yourself. I'm not going to let you load my boat. I'm not going to carry your bricks and mine. God has called me to do something. God has called you to do something. I'm not going to let you overwhelm me. But let me tell you the struggle. I overwhelm myself. Sometimes I adopt that mentality that it's me against the world. And it's not me against the world. It's me and every believer. But most importantly, it's Jesus and us against the forces of the devil. We're not even against the world. We're trying to save the world. Jesus describes her as anxious and troubled. Just finished a book called Eat That Frog on procrastination. I've had that book for 2 years and I just read it. I needed it. Y'all get that on the way home. If not, watch the live back. Garrett got it. Brian Tracy, the author, says many people confuse activity with accomplishment. You're busy, but you're not doing anything. Busy does not mean productive. Active does not mean accomplished. What's wrong with Western church? We're busy. We've got all kinds of programs, but we're not producing disciples. We've got all things, all these plans, and all we're active, but we're not accomplished. For you football fans, I don't even want to bring it up because of what's going on in the NFL right now with my team. But anybody that's watched football knows that as a running back, you run north to south. You don't run east to west. Because you give out just as much energy, if not more, moving sideways. And you got some of these incredible quarterbacks that they'll run 30 and 40 yards back and forth, eluding tackles to make a 5-yard pass. All of that busyness, but not much production. Stand on your feet. Many times we find ourselves caught up in the demands of life, work, family, our house, even some good things like volunteering and serving at church, that we forget to take time to sit down with Jesus and listen. There's a fine line between being a diligent servant and becoming overwhelmed by busyness. Church, leaders, dream teamers, listen. Jesus must be our top priority. I want us to be excellent in all that we do, but Jesus must be our top priority. I turned around on Sunday. Josh was kneeling down, guitar next to him. Serenity was kneeling down, microphone next to her. Tanya and Tanisha, everybody on the stage was laid out. I didn't get mad. I got glad. I want a worship team that sits at the feet of Jesus so that when they worship, they open the gates of heaven and bring the presence of God down. I don't want to spend 3 hours preparing a sermon to tell you about Jesus, but not spend any time with Jesus while I'm preparing. I need to be able to tell you what the Word says, but I also need to be able to tell you, in my secret place of thunder, God spoke this about the church. God spoke this about Living Way families. Jesus must be our top priority. Next week we'll get to Mary. And just a spoiler alert, Martha's not wrong, but neither is Mary. Martha was doing a good thing just out of line and out of priority. Jesus came to eat, but the food could have waited. She could have just said, you know what? Not cooking today. Get DoorDash. Let them bring it, because this is important. Living Way is a church, and it will always be a church, where when camera operators feel the presence of Jesus, they can let go of those cameras, come to the altar. One of my favorite things about Brother Charlie Hartson, he amens me. I hear him, he gives me so much encouragement privately and just hear you amen every service. But I love Brother Charlie because Brother Charlie, we'll have 100 people on this altar. We'll lay hands on 100 people, and he's coming behind everyone to make sure that everybody's taken care of. But we'll get to the end of the line, and Brother Charlie's been walking with me, and then when we get to the end of the line, he just turns around and says, all right, I'm next. What are you saying? He has learned when to serve, but when to sit. I'm learning church at 43. That serving is important, but sitting is what changes my life. Serving, it makes me feel good and it reaches the masses, But sitting, sitting is when I feel God's heartbeat and I hear his voice. And I think it's so awesome that God would have us share this. And we'll talk about it next week as we move into Mary. But right before Thanksgiving, the biggest meal of the year, moms, aunties, some husbands, don't miss out on the family because you're wanting everything to be perfect. Some parents are, you're already stressing out about what you can't buy your kids. That's the pursuit of perfection. If you gave your kids $1 million, they'd be mad that you didn't give them two. That's perfection. You bought them a 2023 BMW. They wanted a 2024. So many times we serve. And Jesus is saying, there'll be time for that. But let's sit. Got some things that I'm going to talk to you that are going to change your life. I got some vision that you're looking at your phone. Don't look at it. I got some vision I'm wanting to give you. And this wasn't necessarily, this would have been a great heart and soul message for our leaders. So maybe this is for anybody, but maybe this has turned to some of our best Living Way dream teamers and leadership. They're getting ready to go into 2025. We're going to serve big, y'all. It's going to be an amazing year. But for the next 5 weeks, can we learn what it means to sit? Sit at his feet. We don't know the discourse. We don't know if Mary was rapid firing questions to Jesus. But in my mind, Mary is totally enthralled, not saying a word, just looking at, like, I can't believe I have this one-on-one. Here's a great part of this message no one ever preaches about. Where's Lazarus? Is he out on the barbecue pit in the backyard? But I want to encourage all the Marthas in the room. Let's learn something from Mary. Let's sit. So the altar's open right now for anyone. But this is your declaration. God, I'm going to learn to sit in your presence. I'm going to learn to sit at your feet. I'm going to fall in love with your voice. When I was young, we had a lot of visiting pastors coming through Living Way. A lot. We had Sunday morning church, Saturday night church, Wednesday night church. A lot of great men, a lot of great women. But man, as a kid, 7, 8, 9 years old, I would love it when these pastors, these preachers would come through. Because I knew at the end of Wednesday night service, at the end of Sunday service, we were headed to Alamo Cafe. And I wasn't going to have to go to school the next day, or I was going to be very late the next day. But we were going to head over to Maggie's over there off of, what was that, Nagados or Parambito? But you know what I like? I liked hanging out with my dad. I like listening to their stories. I wouldn't say a word for 3 or 4 hours. I would just be mesmerized by what was being said. And every once in a while, one of those generals of the faith would look down at 8-year-old Brandon and they would say something to me. And I thought, man, is this not awesome? And we have that with God. But some of us, we've turned our faith into a job. It's what I do for God. It's what he's called me to do. Forget about all of that. Last night, Mandy and I, Brother Chavez, thank you so much. We went out last night. He blessed us with just a gift for us to go out and have a dinner. So we went out and had dinner and went to a movie. But man, I've been married to that girl for 21 years. We're never at a loss for words. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where we eat. We just want to be together. Actually, I say it doesn't matter. She's lactose intolerant and gluten intolerant, so... And I can't have sugar, so we're very limited. We just want to be together. Let's fall in love with Jesus tonight. I know that sounds so trite, but some of us have been serving and we forgot to sit. Chantel knows what it's about. This young lady I've known, Manny and I have known her for many years, pastored her occasionally when she was a young person. Now she is a member of Living Way and she's set down roots here, but she's hit her knees in this altar. What? That's a physical expression. God, I'm sitting at your feet. I'm not saying everybody's got to do that in the house, but I'm just saying that what a great physical declaration that I'm learning how to just be in the presence of the Lord. This one thing is necessary, Jesus said. Learning how to sit. Learning how to listen to the voice of God. If you're in this altar right now, I just want you to put both hands up in the air. And I want you to say this prayer. Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been busy, but I'm changing and you are transforming me tonight to not be so busy that I miss your presence, that I miss your voice. Speak to me. I'm listening. I'm sitting at your feet. I am focused on your face. My ear is tuned to your voice. No more distractions. No more diversions. No more division. In Jesus' name, not for a moment, but for the rest of my life, I will know what it's like, the importance, the value to sit at your feet, have your presence invade my life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody give God praise. If you're in this altar, though, don't leave just yet. Sister Tammy, our team's going to begin to pray and lay hands on you and anoint you. This is my prayer for everyone in this altar. Get that prayer of Samuel, here I am. Get that prayer of Moses, speak, I'm listening. That's what happens in his presence. His presence is not just about performance. It's not just about what you can do for him. It's not just about what he can do for us. Sometimes, Mandy, where you want to go eat? I don't care. Brandon, where you want to go eat? I don't care. I'll go anywhere as long as we're together. Come on, believer. God, where are we going? I just want to be with you. Oh, we're going through some valleys? Like David, I walk through the valley. I'm not by myself. You're with me. Oh, we're going to a mountaintop? Ooh, I like the mountaintops, God, but I'm so grateful that on that mountaintop, I'm not going to praise my ego and my exploits, but God, I'm going to be able to thank you for all that you've done. As we worship tonight, is there anyone in this house that needs Jesus as their Savior? Jesus as their Savior. A lot of denominations, a lot of false religions put a lot of emphasis on what you do. But it's not what you do first, it's who you know. And in the sitting is when you find out who Jesus is. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. At your seat, we invite you to come forward. If you don't want to leave your seat, lift your hand. We'll send somebody to you. We'll lead you in that prayer wherever you are. If you're watching online tonight and you're on the other side of that screen, I believe it is not by accident. I believe it is not coincidence. I believe it is a divine appointment that God has reached you wherever you're watching from, live or archived. And I want to let you know that Jesus loves you, but he loves you so much he doesn't want to leave you like he found you. So you call on the name of the Lord, he'll hear you. Claim him as Savior, the Son of God, the only way to be saved and get to heaven. Ask him for forgiveness and boom, right where you are, redemption comes. Then if you're in another city, let us know. We'll do our best to help you find a Bible-believing church. If you're within 50 miles of Living Way, we'll see you here Sunday morning. But if you're in this house and you don't know Jesus, this is your call. We're on the verge of World War III. Ukraine and Russia are heating up once again. I wouldn't want to leave this building without knowing Jesus. But let me talk to the believers that haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. I wouldn't want to leave this building not being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues.